Good morning. Today I've tried a little bit of a schedule change. As you can see, I am dressed and ready for work now at 5:53. Mr. Foster is texting me. Terrific. We're going to his house tonight. We're doing a podcast. Happy birthday, Marine. So, two things I want to talk about. Today's going to be a little bit short, just a little bit. I do like this schedule better, however, because now I'm ready to go. I can podcast up until the point... Oh my god, I'm sorry, I need to turn that off. I can podcast up until the point I need to leave, because everything's packed, ready to go. I can just walk out the door. Two things I wanted to discuss today. One being a story about one of the few people from my Marine Corps career that I still keep in touch with. The other thing is I just want to speculate for a little on what King of the Hammers 2022 is going to be like, considering that JT is no longer involved in Ultra 4 and Alan Johnson, who is the director of media, is no longer going to be with the organization either. But before we get into that, I want to tell you this story about my buddy, Mark Angeli. Mark Angeli, he's the third. Mark Angeli, I can't remember his middle name, but he's the second. And I always asked him why he was the second. And he said that his dad told him, no man is ever going to call my boy Junior. And I was like, And that resonated with me so much that my firstborn son is the second, not Junior. In case you guys didn't know that, my firstborn is named after me because I'm a vain piece of shit. So Mark Angeli from Connecticut, Italian as fuck, like hardcore Italian. As he's like 6 foot, just a fucking hunk of an Italian man from the Northeast. Comedian, pure comedian, this guy. But when I first met him, so I got to 3rd Lad Battalion in Camp Pendleton in September of 2009, I want to say. And he was one of the first people that I met. I was doing the same job he was, so we were, you know, kind of co-workers with, we had, I think, two people above us, and then the whole other comm shop with radio and all those other guys. But he's very aggressive. Like, not Italian aggressive, he was just aggressive. And I didn't know it at the time, because I didn't think that adults could be bullies. And I had no real experience with bullies previous to that, because I didn't go to public school, and by the time that I did go to, like, a private school, it was in high school, and nobody really fucked with me. Not because I was, like, big and bad, just because I was nobody. I was like, you look down the hallway, and I can be standing right in front of you, and you won't see me type of shit. So, Mark was, come to find out, a fucking bully. If you were, you know, waiting in line to talk to S1 in the hallway, he'd walk past you and kick you in your shins. If he came up behind you and you were walking a formation, he'd punch you in the fucking kidneys. It was just always, like, little stuff. Like, you always wanted to slap box, very, like, physically domineering. Dominating? I don't know. And I just thought he was a fucking asshole. Well, he was at the time. And he would always ask me every Friday, hey, Baldy, whatever they were calling me at the time. Each unit had a different nickname for me. It was usually Maldy. And he was, every Friday, hey, man, why don't you come over to the house, hang out, me and the wife, we'll cook, we'll drink, we'll have a good time. And in my head, I was like, dude, there is no fucking way that I'm going to your house so you can fucking beat me up all weekend. No part of that sounds fun. So after a couple months of this, I finally broke down and I was like, dude, all right, fuck it, whatever. Friday, leave work, go back to my barracks room, change, I think I put like a pair of underwear in a backpack and fucking dipped and go to his house. And he was like a completely different person. Like, I don't know what his fucking deal was. We talked about this, you know, years later. And he always said, like it was just a show at work, or I can't remember. We haven't talked about it in fucking 10 years. But I had, like, the best weekend over there. They cooked. Other people came over. We had some fucking ragers. And from that point, after the first time, anytime I was invited over, it was like, yes, I'm there. I'm on the couch. I'm getting blackout drunk. Let's do this. I think that was one of the weirdest relationships that I had in the Marine Corps. Started out very, very weird and just turned into a friend. You know, I would still consider him a friend today. It's one of those friends where we don't talk. I don't know. We probably talk 2 or 3 times a year. But we keep up with each other casually on Facebook. I would still consider him a friend and definitely one of those people that I will remember until the day I die. There's a video of this somewhere. I think it might be on my old Facebook. But for his daughter's birthday, one of her birthdays, they got a pig. Like a fucking big pig. And there was a ton of people there, and we were just fucking drinking all day, fucking absolutely hammered. I think she was like 2 or 3. Fucking hammered at a kid's party, which is my favorite thing, honestly. But we were drinking all through the day. People were slowly filtering out, and I don't know if you've been to this type of party, but you're just like, you're waiting for certain people to leave before you really hit the gas. And I think there was someone, we were waiting for them to leave. I can't remember who it was a family member or something. But once that person left and the baby went to sleep, we fucking turned that shit all the way up and started going super hard. We were playing drinking games, just being fucking loud and obnoxious like most early 20-year-olds are. And at some point in the night, it had to be between like 1 or 2 a.m., we got hungry again. And there was still like half of the pig left sitting on the table. So Mark, the pig still had the head. Mark fucking cuts the skin of the face of the pig off. Like pulls and cut it off. So he was holding up the pig's head, like skin of the head, and was putting it on his face while also eating the pig and drinking like the sauce, like the spicy Thai, whatever sauce they had. And I have a video of it, and it is, it still makes me laugh thinking about it. It's one of the most ridiculous fucking things that I've ever seen in my life. Ripping the skin of the pig, of the face off, putting it on your own face. Oh my God. Too much. That was also the house that I first learned about wizard staffs. If you guys have never played that, you drink a beer. Once you finish it, you take your fresh beer and you put it on top and you tape it. So you have a record of how many beers you've had. And once you get to like 6 or 7 to drink the beer, you have to like have someone help you and hold it to drink it like that. And that's I have a picture of me. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to find that. I'll post it on my personal Instagram. Oh my God, that's crazy. I hadn't thought about that in a long time. But yeah, so that was like the party house that we would go to. And not everybody was invited from the unit. Not everybody. But I was always invited. So that was probably one of the biggest characters I ever met. I also got to meet his dad, Mark Angeli, the first, the OG. That man, God rest his soul. Unfortunately, he has since passed, but what a fucking monster that man was. he was going drink for drink with us, crushing us in beer pong. That was the other thing. Always beer pong. Always. Get to the house, beer pong. Beer pong, beer pong, beer pong, until you're too drunk to fucking throw straight anymore. This guy, animal. Animal. Fucking sink it. Sink it. Sink it. Sink it. And he was at the time, I don't know, probably in his 50s or something. Not many 50-year-olds can sink cups like that. It was absolutely ridiculous. Old guys can just, they can party. They can party. I don't know if it's a pacing thing or tolerance or what, but he was keeping up. And at that time, we were drinking very, very heavily. Not super proud of it, but I have a lot of great memories from it. So that whole story about Mark is just to segue into saying happy birthday to all my Marines out there. Not that none of the other branches are important, but, you know, it's the Marine Corps. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Marines. I'm not, you guys, since this is a subscriber podcast, you guys, I feel like you guys out of all of the platforms that I'm active on probably know me the most, since you're willing to participate in these shenanigans. But I'm not, like, being a veteran or being in the Marine Corps, I don't want it to be part of my identity. Like, when people think about me, I don't want them to think, oh, that's the veteran, or oh, that's the Marine. And I've tried really, really hard to make sure that that doesn't happen. For some people, being a veteran or being in their branch of service is a keystone of their character or of their personality or who they portray themselves to be. And that's fine. You can, like, you served, you got the fucking, you got the stickers and the, all the fun stuff. That's fine, whatever. That's not how I want to be. And I don't feel bad about that. I'm not ashamed of what I did. Let me take that back. Ashamed is not the right word. I have mentioned this briefly in other podcasts about whether or not I felt it was morally right for me to be in Afghanistan. I was sent there to do a job, and I did that job. That job didn't involve doing any cool shit. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But just my, I've kind of been wrestling recently in the last 5 or so years on and off with whether or not it was morally right for me to be there. Obviously, I had no control over that. Well, other than not joining, but, I don't know. It's one of those butterfly effect things, you know? If I had never joined, I never would have been there. But then I also would, you know, have a piece of me that always wanted to join. This, it's the same thing with right before I got out, I got an email from someone in Manpower saying that this was my last chance to go to ANS, which is assessment and selection for MARSOC. And for a while there, I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. This is my last chance. I was a sergeant at the time. I was 24 or 25. In decent shape. I doubt I would have made it through ANS. That shit's fucking tough. And I'll always, a part of me will always regret not doing that, you know, because that was my chance. That was my, I think, my one and only chance to go do that cool shit that I signed up for. And I didn't. I was, you know, Michelle and I were serious at that point and talking about getting married and all this shit. And I was really, really fed up with the Marine Corps by that point. I think going to a non-deployable unit right after Afghanistan was the worst decision that I made. I'll be completely transparent. The biggest reason that I left Pendleton and requested an East Coast assignment was so I could be closer to Michelle. I also wanted to go home for some reason, which was dumb, because when I would go home, I would just get in trouble and do dumb shit and be a fucking idiot. So I think that was my last little hit that I needed of home. I don't feel the need to go back ever for anything. I have a weird dynamic with my family. That's probably something I should talk to a therapist about. But you know I won't. I'll just keep bottling it up and dealing with it on my own. So now that we've completely deviated from Happy Birthday Marine Corps, I want to speculate on what is going to happen with Ultra 4 and King of the Hammers this year. And you say, Angel, that's super fucking random. And I will tell you why this morning and yesterday, because this is like a 4-hour fucking podcast. Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, episode 130. They talk to one of the most seasoned right seaters, A-gunners, co-dogs, that the sport has seen. And at the end, I still have 45 minutes left of this episode. It's literally like 3 hours long. They were talking about, you know, JT leaving, and I just added the part about Alan Johnson, because I don't want to say Alan Johnson is a dear friend, because him and I don't have that relationship, but I feel that he is my dear friend. Like, if Alan called me and was like, hey, I need whatever it was, I'd be like, yeah, duh, I got you. One of his cameras died. He was a racer, then a photographer, and then a media director for Ultra 4. He's been in and around the sport for a very, very long time. And at one of the last races, he had an old 6D, like an older camera, and it finally shit the bed, and he made a post on Facebook saying, you know, what should I get next? What do you guys think? And I gave him my suggestion. And then I messaged him, and I was like, hey, dude, if you want to borrow my 1DX Mark II, which it's a used camera, but it's still a $3,000 camera. I was like, if you want to borrow it, say the word. It will literally be in a box with your name on it in the post office tomorrow morning. Like, that's the way I feel about Alan Johnson. Now, keep in mind, I have met Alan in person, I want to say, 5 or 6 times. Have only communicated with him probably the same amount via email, and that's just through Ultra 4. But Alan is one of those people that when you speak to him, you are talking to him and you are only talking to him. Having a conversation with someone who is like that makes you feel, I don't know, it's hard to explain. The only way that I can, I guess, explain it is to compare it to having a conversation with someone who's really not paying attention to what you're talking about. But they're still there, and they're carrying on the conversation, but they obviously have 100 other things going on. So you can be talking about whatever you want, but they're really not there, because they're thinking about the next thing that they need to do once that conversation is over. And if you're watching on Spotify, another plug, you knew that for the last 10 seconds, I wasn't looking at the camera, I was looking all around here. So that's the kind of person that Alan is. So much respect for that guy. And I understand that during King of the Hammers, Emily is like the big dog at Hammers. She's like the media person for Hammers, while, you know, Alan is, I guess, in a supporting role for her during that event. But I think just there's so much logistics and wrangling involved. I'm excited to see who's going to come into his position or who's going to pick up that slack. The thing that I really don't know about is JT Taylor, who's been the race director for I don't know how long. I don't know actually what he's doing. I thought he was with Trail Hero, like officially, but apparently he only set up the race course for the rock crawling for that, so I obviously don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. But and apparently nobody knows what happened with that. If you know, send me a message. I'd love to hear it. I'm not anyone of any sort of stature that I can go and ask the parties involved, hey man, what happened? Why aren't you with Dodge 4 anymore? So I guess I'll just wait for those rumors to circulate and get back to me, I guess. But I have a funny story about JT Taylor that I can also tell. So, what time is it? It is 6:15. I have to wake my kids up in 10 minutes. Okay. Funny story about JT Taylor. I have met him in passing 2 or 3 times. This most recent race in Tennessee at AOP. Is AOP in Kentucky? No, Dirty Turtles in Kentucky. AOP, Tennessee. I was hiking through the woods with my cameras, and I saw JT on the opposite side of the Little Rock Canyon that we were in, and he had a bandage wrapped around his head like Vietnam style. Apparently, he had been helping someone in a car, and another car went to pass and kicked out a rock. It's just, you know, getting hit in the face with a rock is just one of the dangers of the job. You just fucking accept. Fucking nailed him right in the fucking face. So I have a couple pictures of him fucking bandaged up. And so I was on the hill shooting. He was helping another car. He made his way through the ravine and up to my side. And, like, I have my vest, and I'm, like, credentialed media. I have all my shit right. And he goes, what's your name again? And I was like, oh, fuck. That's not good. I'm like, Angel Maldonado. And he goes, okay. I know I've seen you before. I just couldn't remember your name. And then I was like, oh, shit. He's seen my face before. Why has he seen my face before? Like, why does he remember seeing me? This guy meets, you know, hundreds of people. And I was trying to bring a little levity to the situation. I was like, ha, ha, ha. I said, that sounds bad, or that doesn't sound good, or I hope it was good. And he chuckles, and he looks at me and goes, if I remembered your name, that's a bad thing. And I was like, all right, I'll give you that. That made me laugh. It kind of humanized the position that he's in for me. You know, you see him walking around, he's just with his fucking mustache and his radio and his sunglasses, just like he's an old army guy, of first sergeant, I think. I don't know all the army ranks. But just still has very much an army demeanor and mannerisms and the way he moves and stuff like that. But it was kind of one of those, it's like when, you know, someone you look up to tells you a funny or embarrassing story about themselves. It's kind of like, but that is my one funny story about JT Taylor. I haven't been in the off-road scene, period, much less, I'm sorry, I ran out of lozenges for my throat. And I'm drinking coffee, which apparently you shouldn't do if you're a podcaster, because it dries out your mouth. And yet, I'm still doing it. And if you're wondering, yes, I do have to poop right now. But I'm podcasting instead, because time management. So yeah, I think that's all I got for you guys this morning. And I shouldn't drop this episode. Well, I shouldn't have dropped yesterday's episode when I did. I should have waited 1 week and then dropped it. And I shouldn't post this episode, which will be 2 in a row, because that's going to throw everything off. But this episode is like Marine Corps birthday episode, and I want to drop it on the Marine Corps birthday episode. And guess what? Tomorrow I have off, and I'm probably going to do another one because it's Veterans Day. I'm going to drop it on Veterans Day. So you're going to get 3 all back-to-back, just fucking jammed in there. I love you so much. I hope you have a terrific day. I'm going to go wake my kids up, get them ready for school, kick him in the ass, and get this fucking day started. I love you. Goodbye.